vast, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Good morning. Kelly sends his regrets. He has a meeting this morning. So, I want to talk about taking care of yourself, prompted by various conversations I've had in the last week. People are getting really kind of strung out, and that's not good for them, and it's certainly not good for anybody else. I rarely title my talks, but this one is Time for a Rest. I was thinking about give it a rest. I don't know about you. When I start thinking about a topic for a talk, little slogans keep coming to me, most of which I discard. But I like give it a rest. And turn it off. Turn it all off. And you probably think of your electronics and TV and your radio and whatever, that's not a bad idea. But I was thinking particularly of that self-critical voice. You know, I'm not doing enough. I'll never stop being a racist or a sexist or whatever. And forget the or part. And I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. I should do A, B, and C. There's never going to be an end to this, which is true. But the beating yourself up part, the freaking out part, it's not just useless, it's actually harmful. But the only way I know to let go of that is to keep watching what it feels like in your gut. I was talking to somebody the other day about losing control and maybe hitting somebody or shaking somebody or pounding your fist against the wall. And it feels pretty good at the moment. And then after that, it feels really lousy and a little and frightening. So that letting yourself feel the frightening, lousy part helps you to not do it again. So I wish you could just stop beating yourself up or freaking out by telling yourself, stop beating yourself up. Stop freaking out. But I'm afraid it doesn't work that way. And you can put your intention on noticing it. And then you'll loosen your grip on it. And it'll loosen its grip on you and you'll do it less. And you could at least stop beating yourself up for beating yourself up. For being self-critical. But I really have been struck by how many people feel really shredded right now. And sometimes desperate. You know, I'm not doing enough. The people I work with are difficult. I see my own white fragility, my own racism everywhere. How am I ever going to stop? How are the other people in my family driving me crazy, and so on and so on and so on. You can fill in your own. And there needs to come, you know, I said something that was never, it'll never end. This is a work of a lifetime for everybody. And so we need to approach it in a way, the way we approach Zazen, and it's a matter of everydayness, that you just keep moving along. It's not a matter of spectacular effort on one day. It's a matter of steady effort. And it's also a matter of taking care of yourself. You know, I think it's in Dogen. I was looking at the four methods of guidance of a bodhisattva. Anyway, in Japanese people would say, please treasure yourself. And can you treasure yourself? Will you, please? I often say, please take good care of yourself, which is a variation on that. I really want to encourage you sometimes to just stop. Just stop. Go for a walk. Read a frivolous mystery novel or whatever does it for you. Just give it a rest. And then come back. But there needs to be, I've said this lots of times, that, you know, that both Robert Aiken, co-founder of the Buddhist Peace Fellowship, and Thich Nhat Hanh have spoken about recreation, that you need some time for recreation. You need some time off. I hope I am convincing you. I have no idea. I'm looking at a little tiny white light up at the top of my laptop because that makes it look like I'm looking right at you, I think. And when I look at you, then it looks like I'm looking somewhere else. I mean, you know this. You can't take care of other people if you're not first taking care of yourself. It doesn't mean to just go off into la la land. It does not mean to jump to emptiness. It does not mean to escape into some view of compassion that talks about warm, open hearts. It is very important to have a warm, open heart. I don't know how you take care of yourself without it. But sometimes we can get sort of carried away into la la land. Don't do that. Just take care of yourself. It's okay. It's okay to go to the beach and walk on the beach for a day. It's all right. It's okay to stay in your pajamas all day. It's all right. Just don't shred yourself. And don't panic and make big decisions about changing your life out of a place of anxiety and desperation. Just slow down. This, you know, 12-step says one day at a time. One day at a time. There's ODAT, a book called ODAT. This is a work of a lifetime, just as Zazen is a work of a lifetime. Kate talks about how she, when she started out, she thought, you know, she'd do this for a few months and then she'd get enlightened and she'd be a better person for the rest of her life. I'm sorry, she laughs when she says it to me. But just remember that. And remember, I love this. So Dogen, in the four methods of guidance of a bodhisattva, those four methods are generosity, kind speech, beneficial action, and identity action. And in the giving, I'm not going to, I love this. I could just start reading it to you, but I'm going to control myself. But I commend it to you. It's page 44 of Moon and a Dewdrop, the Kaz Ta-Nehisi's book about, of translations of Dogen. It's also, all you have to do is Google it and it will come up. And he says, give yourself to yourself and others to others. Give yourself to yourself. And he quotes the Buddha as saying, if you are to practice giving to yourself, how much more so to your parents, spouse, and children? But that's a Buddha advocating that you give yourself to yourself. And there, Dogen goes on to say, therefore you should know that to give to yourself is a part of giving. It's a part of generosity. And it has to come first. And a lot of it, this section, he's talking about letting go and generosity. I didn't mean to read this, but it's like giving birds to the seasons and flowers to the wind. Anyway, which is pure Dogen, right? Because you think flowers to the seasons and birds to the wind, but no. But same thing. All of this is true about letting go and simply giving. He says, giving means non-greed. Non-greed means not to covet. And so on. That's the tenor of the section. But he is emphasizing giving to yourself. And I understand this to mean not just in the open your hand, let go of your ego, do not grasp or covet. But also, take care of yourself. Get exercise, get sleep, eat right. So I say, you can read fiction, read whatever does it for you. Read some poetry. There's poetry that could it could make beating yourself up or freaking out worse, but that's not all poetry. So let yourself play. There must be a time for playing. And then come back. Come back. And as I say, this is the work of a lifetime. And this dealing with COVID may be the work of our lifetimes. I hope not, but that's hoping. But just relax. This is it is a time of a wonderful opportunity. The fact that so many people are marching, all kinds of people, and that so many people are open to change, that's amazing to me. I don't remember if it was with the group or who I said, but I was said something about how the millennials and Generation Z or whatever, however many letters there are at this point, maybe they're going to save us. I don't know. And I know that to be useful, I have to take care of myself. And I want you to take care of yourselves. Put your oxygen mask on first. So, what do you think? Is this addressing something for you? I need to be reminded of it. I certainly do, and people I've been talking to do. But is this useful? I think you're all unmuted, so just about anyway. So, Tony, you are, so go ahead. Did you want to say something?
Yes. Day before yesterday, I had a really stressful day for many reasons. And so yesterday I decided to take a day off, and I worked in my garden. I watched a movie that was, I watched, what was it called? The King of Staten Island.
Oh, wow.
It just came out yesterday. One of the best movies I have ever seen. And I ate popcorn and I just relaxed, and at the end of the day I had a glass of wine and it was wonderful. It was just great.
Good.
I recommend it.
Thank you. Lisa, did you
I was just responding to her, but I hear you, and I think that I need to do that. I've been having trouble with, just sleeping. So actually today I slept in a little late, and I arrived to Zazen late, but, and I, at first I was like, oh no, I gotta get it. And then I was like, no, you know, have a cup of coffee, go slow. And, yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. It's just hard to remember.
Zach?
I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I'm pretty good at that, I think. You know, I'm go for a morning jog and putz around outside, and I'm reading a good thriller. I try to get Becky to take a walk, but her back hurts and stuff, and I might take a walk today, a long walk. Last week, I guess, I was frustrated looking for a protest in Napa. I live in Napa, and I couldn't find anything. And Becky said, why would you go out there? And maybe get the coronavirus and bring it back into our house. And then, like you were saying, the young generations are the ones that are going to save us. And I guess this is under the heading of take care of yourself, but I've kind of come to the conclusion that maybe this isn't my protest to participate in. And I'm kind of at peace with that. I mean, I think if I lived in a big city and there were things going on every day, it would be harder, but maybe this isn't my protest. I mean, that's my issue, but not my protest. So. Thank you.
Daniel, you need to unmute yourself.
And now I'm unmuted. And so it was apropos. That's precisely what I'm doing this weekend, is to break for myself. Because if you haven't figured it out yet, COVID-19, unlike everybody else, job-wise, it was just an accelerant for me, and I've just been tremendously busy. So I've worked almost all weekends this past month, maybe even longer now, just to keep on top of it. Meanwhile, we have such a budget concern in the state that they're talking about cutting our pay 10%, probably equate into furlough days, which is just mind-boggling to me with the amount of work coming into our office. But anyways, I'm starting to appreciate the idea of the furlough days. So last week, I had to go in to work over the weekend, like I was saying, after I met with you all. And then on Sunday, and I was preparing for upcoming trials. I had three of them coming up, and I had to continue one because it was just too much. But anyways, the rioting occurred on Monday and Tuesday. And as a consequence, our office was closed Monday and Tuesday out of the blue. So I received this nice free weekend due to the riots of what I would hope to be resting. But at the same time, I was also frantic due to the things I had to do at work and my inbox. And so by this Friday, I said to myself, enough, I have to rest this weekend and take time to myself. So after I'm off the internet with you, I'm going kayaking.
Steve.
So something that you said, Mary, reminded me when I don't know who you said had felt when they first started practicing that they were going to just do it for a few months and then get enlightened.
That was Kate.
Oh, okay. So also it led me, it reminded me that I feel a little bit shaken by all that I've learned recently about racism and how I've participated in it and unwittingly or whatever. And then I, after learning a lot, I thought, wow, I'm starting to feel woke. And then I realized, and then on a little bit more reflection, it was all, you know, I really hate that word. Not because of, I kind of like the sound of it, but there's no like one place you go to just, hey, I got it now. And that's why I completely wholeheartedly agree that this is a thing where it's a marathon, not a sprint. So there's so much to learn and taking, and I feel like I need to take care of myself, and we all do. So that's what I have to say.
Thanks. Yeah, and thank you for, now what did you send out the thing about white fragility?
Yeah.
I've listened to part of it because it's hard. It's mm-hmm. hard to listen to, you know, to look at my own. I mean, I don't go around saying I'm not a racist, and I don't go around trying to convince people that I'm not. And I feel very frightened of acknowledging it. And, you know, it's easy to say, we're all racist, you know, we're all sexist, or women have internalized the oppression, or whatever, you know. Yeah, well, anyway, I think it's very powerful what she's talking about. And and I'm most of the way through the reparations article by Ta-Nehisi Coates. And I think that's important, you know, for me to do that and educate myself more and more. Or like you Googled Tulsa and you found out it wasn't just Tulsa or just Rosewood. There are other times when that kind of massacre has happened. Or to be careful about saying riots rather than demonstrations. You know, not that some of them haven't turned into something that is fairly called a riot. But it's like, we, you know, people talking about Tulsa and calling it a riot. It wasn't a riot, it was a massacre. And so words matter. And I am working on that, and I think about those things, you know, when I lecture, what did I call them? And I think I've said something like, you know, demonstrations that sometimes turned into a riot or something like that. Anyway, there's just so much work that I have to do, and I think all of us need to do, but like you said, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. So, you know, I feel similarly about the demonstrations. I would dearly love to go, but I'm just too scared to go. And I feel like I have, you know, I have plenty of work to do without endangering myself. Anyhow, I'm so, in speaking about giving it a rest and so on, I'm talking to myself as well, but particularly people that have been taking it on. You need to find a balance. We need to do this work. I think we need to do this work, and of educating ourselves and of paying attention to our own racism. But need to do it in a way that's sustainable. You know, it's not like we've suddenly all become terrible people. We have shadows just like everybody else. And this is a shadow we need to shine some light on, but take a kindly, friendly interest. It's not that different from anything else. Anyway, does anybody want to say anything more before we close? Lisa?
Yeah, I wanted to thank Steve for sending that video, because I've been trying to get that book and it's out of stock everywhere. And what I really appreciated, and I've read a little bit of her, I've read articles by her, but in the video, what I really appreciated was the humor. Mm. And I think that's so important with this. Like, if we can, it's not to say we can laugh at ourselves, because it's not something, it's serious, but it's like a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. It's like, if you can laugh while you're working, it makes it a little easier to swallow and continue the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking a couple days ago, I'm going to pull this out. I haven't read it probably in 40 years, but I'll throw it out there for your reading list if some of you haven't read this, but Invisible Man by Ralph Ellis. And I'm going to be pulling that out this week and rereading it, because I know it's going to be very uber pertinent to this time. And it's a phenomenal book.
It is. I haven't read it for, I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
And so, open as a sangha, I will bring my copy of Invisible Man and leave it there for whomever would like to use it.